repentance is to begin to defend the cause of the fatherless. Okay, God has told us about this. We understand it. It's been proven to us. What do we do for not being the father?
There's another level about to happen, and it's going to be, as you're seeing things happen, that says we've never seen that before.
Not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
I mean, people are being evacuated for attics, mm-hmm. and areas never flooded before.
Of course, the biggest tornadoes we've seen before. How could that happen in Boston? How could this happen?
People understand the techniques of Saul Alinsky and how you have to organize things, and you got to keep a continual pressure to be able to change behaviors. We have to watch what the right hand's doing when they're trying to be distracted by the left hand. There's one thing our president said. He said that the Middle East needs to be organized.
The future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam. And I consider it part of my responsibility as president of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
When you see Iran building ICBMs, just remember, America, that's God's for you.
But I can guarantee you this. The days when the Jewish people remain passive in the face of genocidal enemies, those days are over. This is why, as Prime Minister of Israel, I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand. But I know that Israel does not stand alone. I know that America stands with Israel. I know that you stand with Israel.
In 2010, the U.S. patrol border reported that nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists cross into the United States of America.
Yeah, we already know the news. We're trying to change it. The news is, if we don't repent, this storm is coming, and it's going to bring great devastation. We are going to suffer hugely if we don't turn.
We're being organized. We're being organized according to the Alinsky tactics, tactics that were taught by our president for 4 years in practice in his life, but he taught them for 4 years. His mentor was Saul Alinsky, wrote a book, Rules for Radicals, which was dedicated to Lucifer.
You know, Dr. King was saying from the platform of being a Christian, you know, who I believe would be an apostle and staying constitutionally right under the laws, but also, you know, doing his best to walk righteously before the Lord and boldly before his enemy, moving in love.
I have a dream. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
And I'd like to repent on behalf of the law enforcement. Yes, sir. Would you forgive us?
On behalf of those families that have been unjust, I stand before you now and we receive your repentance in the name of Jesus.
If you don't know what God's saying, if you don't know what the Lord's saying, you got to find out. Why aren't you hearing what God's saying? That we can turn back to God. We can say, Lord, here we are. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, it only takes seconds for things to happen that could take decades and generations to get over. But if we humble ourselves, God will just hear from heaven, heal our land. He'll stop this storm that's been fashioned against us.
You're about to see something come to pass in the very near future that your mind cannot even wrap around. It's going to be so magnanimous, so awful, so awesome. And the nations and the kings and the politicians of the earth, their mouth will be open. It's going to be a day like no other day. But when all is said and done, God will reclaim Israel and God will pour out his grace and his mercy even upon the United States of America.
God is about to give us mega grace. And the mega grace will produce mega power and mega conversions and mega outpourings and mega breakthroughs and mega gifts of the Spirit. And I don't know how to measure that. I just know God says it's coming.
And God spoke to me. He said, this is the wind of the end time revival. And this wind is going to blow not just United States. Again, there's going to be another greater movement of God's Spirit.
There's seven spheres of we call them mountains, really, that if you impact these mountains, the culture, you'll transform that culture. Religion, we would say the church, second, family, education, business, arts and entertainment, media, and government. I believe the best days you know, for the churches ahead, but it's not going to look like anything like it looks like now. It's going to be exciting, exhilarating. It's going to be willing to go through things and rejoice in the fact that they went through it.
Understand that we need to build for 1,000 years.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me in just a moment is John Ramos. We're going to be talking today about the Shemitah year. You know, just recently, we've been talking some about it, but you think about it. Jonathan Cahn's had a book out. His book is, he talks about the harbingers and different things that are taking place, but he has this book out recently talking about the Shemitah, and it's a cycles of how God works in specific time frames, and one is 7-year cycle. When you think about the tribulation he talks about, it'll be 7 years, but it'll be cut short, and the 70 weeks of Daniel, and all the sevens, he created the earth and the world, you know, world in what, 7 days, and anyway, so we're right now in the middle of, according to Jonathan Cahn, a Shemitah year, and we're coming towards the end of it, and the cycles that take place in these things are amazing. They say when you can go back and look at how every 7 years things take place, it's amazing how you can see. It's like, my goodness, why didn't we see that coming? And so here we are at a point of crisis in time where we've been talking prophetically about prophetic warnings are happening. You know, ISIS is in America. ISIS camps from the other side of the border. We just talked about in our last program. Rick Joyner is getting dreams and visions about this almost like a hive or just a wave of evil coming across America. Others getting prophetic warnings. And what happens is, you know, with this, that, you know, what's happening. And it's like, we're right in the middle of a Shemitah. This, we can actually figure out by hearing what's happening and according to some warnings that we're hearing from Jonathan Cahn. We'll show you how you can get this thing in its entirety at VFNTV.com. But let's just hear what he said, because he's talking here about, you know, what will this Shemitah year bring? What will it bring? Listen to Jonathan Cahn right now as he speaks at Church of His Presence in Mobile, Alabama.
What might the Shemitah bring? The Shemitah causes the worldly realm to fall, to fade, to be shaken. It affirms the sovereignty of God. It humbles the pride of man. It humbles the pride of a nation. It can cause the fall of nations, even superpowers. Whether it happens during the Shemitah or not, whether it happens in these next 9 months or not, I believe a great shaking is coming to America and the world. And this shaking will involve the collapse of the financial realm, the economic realm, and even be greater than those collapses. And it will cause a change, even in history. But the point of the Shemitah, the point of shaking, is to cause those who will hear to return to the Lord, to repent and to be saved. And those who know the Lord to wake up and to
It's so important for us to be able to wake up. And that's what this whole, you know, God's getting our attention with all these things that are taking place. But he's talking about financial collapse. You know, some of the things that I've seen, you know, the Lord has shown me. I mean, he's shown me, you know, some serious things happening in the economy. He's shown John, we'll maybe talk about that a little bit later in the program, in regards to the financial crisis in New York with the stock market crashing as we know it. And just, you know, money's valuable when it can buy something. But if it can't buy anything the next day, you know, like the Weimar Republic and what happened to their particular money, it can change. And you think about this, that, you know, Jesus is talking to one particular man. He came up to him and he said to him, you know, Jesus, what do I have to do to be saved, you know? And Jesus read him off or spoken about a couple of the Ten Commandments, you know, do not do this and do not do that. And he says, that's exactly what I've been doing, Jesus. And then he said one more thing. He said, I'll tell you what. I want you, because he's a rich young ruler, he says, I want you to go sell all you have and give your possessions to the poor. Now, that's not for everybody, but that was for this young man. Why? Because that was his heart. And this man walked away from God. He walked away from Jesus, and he was sad, but he walked away. He didn't want to be a follower of Jesus at that point. Why? He says, because he had many things, and he didn't want to give them up. How many people in America, maybe America, because we've been given so much. This is what the author of I Compete, which is, I believe, John Hewitt, just wrote this book recently, and he said that in America, he's talking to his children who live at Virginia Beach. He said, if you live in America and you are healthy, you're in the top 2% of the world. America's the rich young ruler. I mean, think about that. And how many people in America who are just saying, you know, God, we don't need you. We don't want your Ten Commandments here. I mean, think about the things that are taking place right now. And it's like, God is going to shake. This is the Shemitah year. And you think about, and he's talking about these crises coming to America. And you think about this. Is it going to be just only bad times? Is it going to be good times? It's like right now. Well, the Lord laid on my heart this word. This very specific statement is, it's going to be the best of times, and it's going to be the worst of times. Let's listen to what Jonathan Cahn says it's going to be like. Watch this.
We are standing, I believe, at a critical point in history and in prophecy. I'm asked, what does the future hold, judgment or revival? And I answer, it can be both. It can be judgment and revival. In fact, revival can come out of judgment. God can touch a remnant in the midst of a judgment.
That's so important because, you know, that gets our attention. When things start shaking, you know, you think, you talk to this one particular man, for example. You know, I remember talking to many men, but talking to them, and it's like everything's going good in their life. Their job's going right. Their family's going right. Their body's going right. Everything physically is happening. And you try to talk to them about, listen, you know, you need to turn back to God, or you need to, you know, get some things right in your life. You need to start, you know, fellowshipping again. It's like, no, I'm just so busy. We got our boat now. We go fishing on these days, and we don't have time for God. I don't want to read my word. But all of a sudden, his life starts shaking. All of a sudden, his marriage starts shaking. His children start shaking. His finances, he finds out that he's going to get laid off from work. And all of a sudden, he starts thinking about things he wasn't thinking about. And so in this shaking and quaking that is happening and that's going to happen in this Shemitah year, it's God getting our attention. And I believe, and I've seen, and a harvest of just thousands and thousands of people that are going to come running to God, that God has prepared their heart. I believe it's going to be like Azusa Street 2.0. Azusa 2.0. I believe that there's going to be a harvest of young people that are going to go after God, and God's going to move in such a powerful way. There's going to be this turning. And for me, I'm like, I don't want to miss it. You know, I want God, you got my attention. I want to listen to you. And we're speaking to you right now saying, listen, if that's you, you're ready to wake up. You want to be a part of what God is doing. You don't want to just sit back and watch what happens until it knocks on your door. And I think about, you know, Keitara Bradford in Texas, in Klein, Texas. You know, God spoke to her prophetically in a night vision and said, you know, that a day of reckoning is coming, and it's coming to your door. I mean, God is coming to your house, and he wants to know, who are you going to serve? This is like the days of Elijah. We're on top of Mount Carmel. You know, God's putting it out there for all of us to see. What is he saying? It's like, who is your God? Who do you say Jesus is? Do you say he's a prophet? Or do you say he's a son of God? Who is he to you? And this is what he said. Elijah said this. He said, choose today who you're going to serve. We're going to have more from Jonathan Cahn in a moment. We're going to begin to explore, what is this Shemitah year, and how do we need to prepare? More when we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
A strong-willed person can be a great problem solver, but sometimes a little bit difficult to live with. I'm John Fuller, and this is Focus on the Family Minute. Psychologist Dr. Debbie Cherry is a self-described strong-willed woman, and her husband has figured out a way to get the two of them on the same page when there's a problem.
If you will grab a hold of her problem-solving skills and get her to help you solve a problem, she's great at it. But if you just attack the problem and just say, this is what you need to change, she's going to fight you. So I think probably Jim's wisdom, without realizing it, he would come at this and say, I've got a problem. I'm having a hard time with this. Can you help me? And all of a sudden, I spark, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm good at this. So try to engage her strong-willed skills that work and help her get involved in problem-solving with you.
There's no doubt that understanding your spouse's strengths is critical to managing your conflicts with them. For more from Debbie Cherry today, stop by focusonthefamily.com/radio.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You've got to get this prophetic conference. Thanks to Pastor John Kilpatrick, Church of His Presence. He's made that available, and we're going to have a link for you to be able to get to that and more about on the VFN Torch. But I believe johnkilpatrick.org, you can get that and hear the whole thing in its entirety. But we are in this Shemitah year. This is it. And so the dates of...
It started September 2014, I believe it's the 23rd. And the next time is Yom Kippur this year, 2015, which is going to fall on September the 13th. So we're right in this Shemitah year where the fulfillment of it, right, if it happens.
I mean, when you hear about the harbingers and all the things that have taken place, that everything doesn't just happen.
Mm.
You know, God is so in control that not even a bird falls from the sky without his permission.
Right.
I mean, think about that. Not a hair on your head does it get lost outside of God's permission. I mean, he's so aware of us. He's so into us. The thing is are we into him?
Mm.
And he's waiting for us to reach out. So these twin towers that came down were symbols of power, the symbols of economic power. And it's been almost like a downfall since that point in regards to if you're going to do a graph and, you know, where things were going. It's a whole different world.
Mm.
And I remember the Lord showing me, you know, before that or right around that time, he showed me President George Bush, and he was in the White House. And he was flying. Imagine the White House and the Oval Room has a steering wheel for an airplane, a stick for an airplane. And he's holding on, trying to steer America to keep it from crashing. But it was just inevitable. It was coming down like this. And it was shaking. And ever since that moment in time, I believe it's been in crisis management, trying to manage the impact. Mm-hmm. Because you think about, you know, in this current presidency, they printed more money. They have more debt in this one administration than every president from George Bush, George Washington to one prior to, which would be George, from George to George.
Wow.
And you add them all up and this one's more. But it started way earlier than this current administration, mm-hmm, that's in, instead of financial crisis. And it makes me think about, John, how the Lord was speaking to you about, you know, in 6 minutes, right?
Yeah, yeah. I had this night vision, this dream where I was going to work. I was in the office, and I was headed to my desk. And as I was walking there, I saw that my colleagues were surrounding a television screen, and they were watching breaking news. And it was breaking news from years past. You know how they would actually really break the news, not now, where they kind of tell you what the news is they're about to break.
Get ready for it.
Yeah, so people are standing, but the reporter's standing on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, and I saw all the stockbrokers wearing their blue jackets. They were standing still, which is...
that stockbrokers, the exchange you're looking, sure, at, where the money's exchanged, businesses, right, are owned.
Businesses are owned, and my father was a stockbroker. I've been there, you know, I've been to Trade Center, and those guys don't stop. They're running around now. They were standing still, waiting to hear what the reporter was going to say. And he says, I don't want you to panic, but in a few minutes, you know, I'm about to share something. And as soon as he said that...
In 6 minutes.
Well, this is the first part. As soon as he said that, I already knew in the dream, because God already had spoken to us sometimes about what was coming, I knew what he was about to say. And so I go to get my things so that I can be ahead of the crowd that's about to panic.
Because you're in a city and it's packed.
Right. And at the time I'm living, you know, 15 minutes, 20 minutes from Manhattan. Anyway, as I'm walking, exiting the building, he begins to share his report. And he says, I don't want you to panic, but in 6 minutes, the world's going to end as we know it.
Now, they weren't saying the world's going to end.
Right.
But as you know
as
the world.
As we know it. And so, of course, pandemonium started breaking loose. And at that point, I began to stand up on the table and I direct them to VFN TV and the torch and all the different things.
Because it's all there. We've been prophesying about these things. Yeah.
For quite a while. And so, you know, six is the number of an idol. You know, here we are in the middle of the New York Stock Exchange, and America has made, you know, money the idol.
And there's a bull. Right outside the stock market. I mean, think about it.
They sell bulls as tourists right outside of Battery Park. They sell them as good luck pieces for a fortune for money.
Well, that means nothing. You understand what a bull means, but a bull is Baal.
Yeah.
You know, Baal worship in regards to why does it have to be a bull market? Why not
exactly
a god market?
Yeah.
In regards to.
Sure.
And Baal represents the work of your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And that came during crisis. They presented that big,
ugly thing.
Pile of bull, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's amazing, you know, when you think about that, the number of men. And when God was when God empowered Elijah to bring a nation before him, to bring them to a point of decision, it was about a bull. It was about Baal. Mm. It was about Baal worship. And he had the prophets of Baal on one side of the part of the mountain, and he had his relationship with God on the other side of the mountain, and the two was being compared.
Mm-hmm.
And we're about to see that God's going to win out over Baal.
No doubt.
God is going to win out over all the bull.
God always wins.
And as a matter, I remember when Jonathan Kahn was talking about now Capitol prayer is back into Capitol Hill now.
Yes.
And they invited him to come in and speak at Capitol Hill. And he gave the warning right from the Capitol Hill. As a matter of fact, take a look at this.
And this is that something that happened in the Capitol building. And this happened in this past year. And one of the things that happened is someone was listening as I was speaking about the Harbinger on television, and they were led by the Lord to pray about something, and God miraculously opened the door to bring prayer back to the Capitol building. So that prayer and the Bible and the Word and services in the Capitol. And it was first once a year, and now it's every week in the Capitol building. And there is a remnant, I can tell you. I mean, there's a remnant on Capitol Hill that are of Congress, members of Congress, senators who are praying for America. They're even praying for pastors to be strong. And there are people who have run for president, are running for president, who also that way, who also have endorsed, said the Harbinger, and are praying for America for revival. So I want to just share a note to encourage you. God will always he'll give opportunities, and I believe our greatest days to be bold and to be strong are ahead. So as an encouragement, if you have the second clip, this is in the Capitol building this year.
Then Rabbi Jonathan Kahn will come. If you have not read his remarkable book, The Harbinger, a bestseller, it is one of the most soul-stirring and stunning, spellbinding books I think I have ever read.
And he's running for president.
He will come following Congressman Fittinger. We stand tonight on Capitol Hill in the city named after the one who gave that prophetic warning to ask, can a nation drive out the name of God from its public squares? And the word of God from its schools, and the ways of God from its culture, and still expect the smiles of God to shine upon it? Can the blood of 50 million unborn children cry out to heaven from this land, and the smiles of heaven still remain? Members of Congress, can a government call good evil and evil good, and forge laws that war against the laws of the Almighty, and the smiles of heaven still remain? Supreme Court justices, can you strike down the statutes of the Almighty and overturn the judgments of the Most High and still expect the smiles of heaven to remain? And Mr. President, can you place your left hand on the word of God to assume your office and then with your right hand sign laws that break the very word upon which you swore and still expect the smiles of heaven to remain? The voice of our first president cries out to us tonight and answers, no, you cannot do so, and still expect the smiles of heaven to remain upon this land. Kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall. America has risen by the hand of God, and without that hand, it cannot endure. The voice of God cries out, return, America, and I will have mercy on you. And tonight we bear witness from Capitol Hill that the warning of our first president is true, and that our hope is not in the White House or the Supreme Court or the Capitol or Wall Street. Our hope is in the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Our hope is in Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, the same yesterday, today, and forever. To him alone the nation is dedicated, and him alone is his salvation. So let the word go forth this night to this nation. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Let the will of God be done, let the name of God be lifted up, and let this city on the hill again shine with the light of the fire of the glory of the living God in the name of Yeshua, Jesus, the light of the world, the glory of Israel, and the hope of these United States. So help us God. Amen.
Totally, wow. totally awesome. Think about this. People say, man, that's the Capitol. Mm-hmm. That they are proclaiming the word of God. Somebody says, I've heard that scripture so many times, if my people, that's like the grace of God. Hopefully it's in stereo everywhere because God is warning us again and again. He's going, I want to restore America. That mm-hmm. verse of scripture means if we, then God will. Mm-hmm. If we hear from God, humble ourselves, repent, turn from wicked ways, he'll heal the land. This is God telling us, I want to heal America. Yeah. I want to heal the land. I want to heal it. But the prerequisite for that is for us to turn back to him.
That's right.
And that is in the Capitol. And I think about, where you had that night vision, that dream, and you think about the New York Stock Exchange, you think about the Twin Towers that fell, and it was right there. As you can find out more about reading in the Book of Harbingers, and also he has a book on the Shemitah. But it's to understand that that is where the capital of America was. It was in New York.
Yeah.
It wasn't Washington D.C. wasn't around in that time, and the beginning of our country. And right across the street from the Twin Towers was a small little church, and that's where they went to pray after the dedication of America with our president, George Washington, prayed right there in that church, right where those towers fell. And so you're thinking, why is all this friction happening in New York? Why is all this intensity happening in this one area? Because that's the birthplace. Mm. That's where America was dedicated to God. That's where our president, President George Washington, laid his hand upon a Bible and said that this can't be done without God. I mean, think about it. This is so important, because outside of having God over you as a nation, you have to have a tyrannical leader. I mean, if we're not under God the way Israel was under God, then it's just wild. I mean, look what happened in the days of Noah. There was no leadership. Everybody was doing evil in their own minds, and so all of humanity was destroyed. And what comes after that is leadership. God calls the people out. He begins to establish himself. Well, he begins to reveal himself as he's the one in control and leading them and protecting them. And it wasn't until they begin to cry out for, "I want a king like everybody else has a king." And he says, "You know, he gave them Saul."
Yeah.
You know,
when George Washington took the oath of office, he turned to the Bible, to Deuteronomy chapter 28. That's the chapter for blessings for obedience and blessings for curses for disobedience. That's the very first thing that our president did, and kissed the Bible. And he was the one who said, "So help me God," was the first one to say that.
Yes.
And so it's just huge significance.
It is. And we get back from the break. We want you to, you know, we'll hear things about this is how controlled God is. We're going to have Jonathan Kahn talking about, you know, being on his side, you're on the winning side. Ooh. And not only that, the blessing being spoken out. His lineage comes from the Aaron priesthood, actually. And more we get back from the break. Join us.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I love VFN Radio. You know, I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it, because it's the Word of God. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to get a device, a radio or an something or an something, and put it on your desk at work, and, you know, put it by the kitchen sink and just carry it with you or whatever, and just listen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it. 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world, you can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment, that you just like catch a half of it, don't be disappointed like it used to be. "Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good." You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment. The whole segment. And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices. And podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important, because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker on the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, "Your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God." He says this is a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really mean it. You know, not, they aren't faking it. It's just like, what?
You may be joining us today and you're searching. You're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you. He's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. And when you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. We try to share, not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He's a real loving father who loves you, who sent his son so that you can have a relationship with him. Go to meetmyfather.org and you can read some of our stories.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Welcome back. When you think about, okay, all these things are taking place, you know, how in control is God? I mean, how in control is he? Because I think the biggest issue we have as human beings is letting go and trusting God.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have enough on your plate if you think you're in control. You got to keep putting more on your plate till finally you realize the only way this is going to happen is God. But if you stay in the area where you got everything, you know,
stand by the shore.
Stand by the shore. You got to get into the deep and get over your head, and you'll be surprised. It'll build your relationship with God when you start getting to go as far as you have to go where it creates total dependency on him. Do not stay in any area of your life, in any aspect of your life, now while you have a chance, that you're in control. Mm-hmm. Get out and deep in obedience to God where you depend on him for your very breath, that you depend on him, that if you don't hear him when you abide with him in that morning, you know, that you're not going to know what to do. You know, so dependent on him that you know you're going to talk to him in the morning so you sleep like a baby at night knowing that he'll tell you in the morning when the day starts. You're not all worried about the next day. And it makes me think about what Jonathan Cahn said, you know, when he talked about how in control is God. Let's watch 450. Watch this.
Then for you, the Shemitah says, for you who are in God, in his will, the Shemitah says, the Lord is on the throne. And though the mountains may fall into the heart of the sea, we shall not fear. For the Lord our God is our refuge, a very present help in time of trouble. He is our rock, and he who stands upon this rock shall not be shaken. No matter what it looks like, God is in control. No matter what surrounds you and what trouble, God is in control. No matter what comes against you, God is still in control. The world may be crazy, but he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got you and me, brothers, you and me, sisters, in his hands. And the one who's on the side of God, remember, is on the winning side. Not even hell can stop the will or work of our God.
Not even hell can stop the will and the work of our God. This is so exciting. It's like, who is your God? Is this trouble that you see in this earth bigger than your God? The God that I serve is bigger than any of this. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited because many people who don't know him are about to know him. Many people, just like I think I can't get off to all the people right now, that God's moving in every nation doing awesome things and he's drawing people to himself. But listen, if you are his, understand he's not going to, he says in Psalms 91 that if you abide under his wing, if you hang out with him, and if you don't have an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ, but you have made him the Lord of your life, go to iabide.org. You see at the bottom of your screen right now, go to iabide.org. We have a plan for you, a simple free plan requested today because you want to begin to abide with him. But understand he will actually set you aside. He will warn you. As a matter of fact, we're going to even make available to you the Shemitah blessing that is a blessing spoken by Pastor John Kilpatrick during this conference that God gave him in the early morning hours, that you can claim that this is the God that I serve and the God that he will lead me and protect me. And think about God, I mean, when you look at how he shifted things during the time of King Ahab and Jezebel, when he raised up a particular leader called Jehu to come in to deal with things, he first went through the crowd, John. Mm. He first went through the crowd, the people when they were fixing to get the consequences, and he handpicked the people that didn't belong in that crowd because they were gods. He wanted to make sure there wasn't anybody there. And I think about Ezekiel. Mm-hmm.
I believe it's Ezekiel 9.
Well, he had Ezekiel.
Puts a mark on the
He goes down and puts a mark. He has his angels come and put a mark on those that are his. So when these things happen, it doesn't happen to those that are his. Now, if we're in rebellion and we're in the darkness and we're not listening to him, we're only fooling ourselves. But if you're hanging out with God and you're listening and following him, then you have nothing to fear.
That's right.
I mean, nothing to fear at all. And God is so in control. And there's a secret place that you can go to. There is the safest place. It's not about a location. It's not about, as a matter of fact, we get back from this break. Do we have some more time? I want you to right now. Awesome. We got time. You're about to hear the safest place. Because you think, is it in my basement? Is it in a different country? Is it a different state? Do I need my passports? Do I need a bomb shelter? Do I need, You know, what do I need, right? Well, listen, watch Jonathan Cahn here. He tells us where the safest place is.
Do not fear. People ask me, how can I be safe? In Hebrew, the word for safety is Yeshua, and Yeshua is Jesus. He's our safety. He's our rock. He's the answer. He's our light. He's our refuge. Outside of him, there's no safety. Inside of him, there is no fear. If you're outside of God, then fear, but then get in and you can stop fearing. If you're in God and there's things that are not right, get them right with God. You know, the safest place, is it where is the safest place to be? Is it the Midwest? Is it South America? The safest place, is it the will of God? If you're in the will of God, get more in the will of God.
If you're in the will of God, get more in the will of God. The Hebrew word, Yeshua, means safety.
Wow.
So Jesus, he really is. Listen, he you know, the enemy has tried to paint God as a God that he's not. Try to paint Jesus as the Son of God that he's not. He is powerful. He is above all things. He, at his name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. If Yeshua is your Lord, you are safe. And if he's not, today you can enter into that safety. You think about that. And I'm thinking about, you know, so many people are trying to prepare and what to do. And it's like, you know what? We got to be about the Father's business. You got to be about the Father's business. This is what he said. He said, this is what Jesus said. When the master comes back, he needs to find us about his business, feeding his people, taking care of them. And one thing that he asks of us as believers, he says, I want you to be my disciple. And if you haven't yet began to be his disciple, and Jesus said, those who know my teachings and follow my teachings are really my disciples. They know the truth, and the truth will set them free. If you want to be free, what's happening in your life, I mean, it's about being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And Multiply Movement, you can see that at the bottom of your screen right now, multiplymovement.org. It's a place you can go to begin a journey of discipleship. You want to begin it right away because disciples, you know, make disciples. Francis Chan and David Platt laid it out perfectly for you there to begin this journey. And we get back from this break, we're going to talk about, you know, how can you know this Yeshua? How can you know Jesus? And Jonathan's talking about it. And, you know, Jonathan's a messianic Jew. And just exciting, great wisdom about this very issue. We come back from the break.
Do you believe in the cross of Christ?
I'm a pastor.
If you believe, then the question is, what are you going to do about it?
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Where am I? Anyway.
You're in a hardware store.
I'm in a hardware store.
For some reason. On your anniversary.
25th anniversary.
You must be lost.
We've done some other things.
Obviously you're lost.
Obviously. He meant to go to the jewelry store.
Actually, the reason why our dog is drowning.
Oh, okay.
Our dog is drowning. Okay. Because of this new gutter system that just takes all the water and just dumps it in one spot. And the doll's like, I'm drowning. And so we're trying to find this little bendy thing. Anyway, and so I tell this clerk that, or the person with the vest. And she goes, oh, wow, that's so great. Because I work at a legal office where we help with divorce.
Oh, gosh.
And it's so good to hear.
Oh, okay.
It's so good to hear. No, she was like, here's the divorce papers.
Yeah. Right. Clarity to this here. Thank
so,
you.
She's just so, it's just so good to see somebody still married.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so cool. So I told Donna, I said, Donna, go ahead and load the lumber on the truck.
Yeah.
Just joking. You know, I'm joking. Please don't write to Pat.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. You know, when you're seeing all and hearing, I mean, you've got to hear this entire conference, and it's available to you. All the details are on the torch at VFNTV.com. But, man, this is a Shemitah year. These things are happening. Yes, they're happening. It's kind of difficult the way that, you know, things are been, the way society is today, the way that media comes today, that people have artificially experienced a lot of authentic emotions on imagery and movies and even news that's not even, you know, it's tragic, but it's not happening in your neighborhood yet. You know, it's not happening in your community yet. And so You may be familiar with it. You may be desensitized. You don't, you know, your things can be just, you're like, I can't feel anymore. It's like, you're going to have to feel this is real.
This is real.
We are in the Shemitah. This is it. And some of the things that in this conference that's talked about, and we may have even played some of them on VFN TV, they talked about this is a perfect time. And no man knows the day or the hour now. But it is going to happen. But this would be a perfect time at the end of the Shemitah for the tribulation to begin. Mm-hmm. You know, and with your pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, you know, where I'm pan-trib, it'll kind of pans out in the end.
Right.
But understand this, that means we could be very well. I mean, look what's happening in the world. Look what's happening. I mean, American leadership is turning against Israel. And we can say, oh, that's them. That's not us. Understand, they are us. Those 535 elected leaders in Washington, D.C. were elected by the people who live in all 50 states. They got there by permission, you know, in regards to it's like, we've got to say, dear Lord, you know, have mercy on us. Stop this thing, this turning against Israel and turning against God. And so, you know, what do you do at a time like this? Well, it's time to get serious with God. If you get serious with God, he will get serious with you. It's time to just shove off all the religion. I mean, if you are even, you know, getting in a fellowship that doesn't teach the word of God, you're not even hearing what's going on. And you got to challenge people there and say, listen, we need to talk about what's relevant right this moment. Can you hear what's being said? And I think about, you know, so many times people are just stuck like a stuck record. They're stuck, a tape, just putting the same thing over and over again. And one guy told me, he says, listen, you know, I love my pastor, but all he says is grace. Every message is about grace, and the whole world's falling apart.
Wow.
It didn't know what to do with it. Well, listen, there's grace to hear God, to obey God, to follow God. As a matter of fact, listen to what Jonathan Cahn talks about. It's time for us to get serious with God and say, you know, I want to make Jesus Christ the safe place of my life. Watch this.
We want to pray a prayer. I want to help you right now with a simple prayer to make this. It's not about the prayer. It's about your heart saying yes to God. God's calling you. Some of you, you may have been all right, but he's calling you to a higher calling now. But I want you to, we're going to pray together. And the prayer is to simply say yes to God's call and yes to him in every way, and to put him as Lord of every part of our life. If you have not prayed that before, it's going to be the prayer of your salvation. It's the greatest thing that could ever happen. But if you prayed before, this is your consecration. Now the Bible says that there's only two roads you can go on, heaven or hell, and you're on one or the other. But Jesus said the only way to enter heaven is to be born again. So if you're not born again, you're on the wrong road, and you need to get right before that heartbeat stops, because you're only separated from eternity by one heartbeat. So that's God knocking, saying, let me in. Now's the time. And he won't reject you. He says, come now. He's calling you right now. If you're not born again, you don't know how long you have. You may never have another day, or never. You might not be open another time. This is your moment right now. You don't know. You don't have to know what the future brings. You have to know he who holds the future, and he will hold you too. But you got to get right now. So with our eyes closed, for those, if you're not sure you're born again, or where you're going to be 1,000 years from now, you need to know. That means you need to get in. If you've been in God, but you haven't really been in his will, you pray, make it your own prayer, but dedicate, consecrate now. And if God's calling you to a higher ground now, all out, you pray, make it your own prayer. But we're going to set him as Lord of every part of our life. Let's pray right now. Just repeat after me. These words, and mean it in your heart. Lord God, I come to you now, and I open my heart to your will, to your calling. I will follow you wherever you lead. I will stand for you no matter what. I proclaim that you are Lord of every part of my life. Forgive me, wash me, cleanse me, and make me new. Give me an anointing to stand and to overcome. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Dying for my sins and rising from death so I could live, so I could be saved. Lord, fill me. I turn away from any darkness, from any compromise. I lay it aside and I put you first. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to follow you as your disciple more than ever before. Fill me. Wash me. anoint me for the days ahead. And I thank you that by this prayer and by your word, I can say, I am blessed. I am free. I am new. I am victorious. I am an overcomer. I'm saved. I'm born again. And I'll be with you always. Lead me on to higher ground. In the name of Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.
I think about when I was in Israel. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the family of God, by the way. You want to find out more details, go to meetmyfather.org. And when I was in Israel, and we went to seeing everything and visiting and ministering, and a particular man there, he was also from the Aaron priesthood, the Aaron lineage, you know. And we were in his office, and he was an artist. He some beautiful things that he had drawn. I have one hanging in my office today that he had given me. Of Mary on the feet of Jesus, you know, when she's washing his feet. And so we're talking or whatever, and he says, you know, I just want to pray for my family lineage. I just want to pray this blessing over you. You know, I don't want to pray this Aaronic blessing over you from Aaron, you know. And so often we leave the ways of God, not realize this. There's power in following and doing what God says. And when a priest, when somebody blesses you, when a father blesses you, when you have a blessing, it just changes your life. And this is what God wanted this blessing to go forth over his people. And he had Aaron speaking. So he starts speaking this blessing to over us in his office. And the presence of the Lord just filled the, you know, place that we were at in Israel. And it was so strong that, you know, we're trying not to just be still. And all of a sudden, just water just started pouring out. It wasn't like a tear. It was just like streams of water. My elbows were on my knee, and we just began to just weep. And just, it was just like God's just enveloped us and just hugged us. And I really believe right now, just this moment, you're about to be hugged by God. I want you to prepare yourself, because Jonathan Kahn is about to speak this Aaronic blessing over everyone. Just receive it. Set yourself up. I was caught totally by surprise. Wasn't even thinking about it. Didn't understand, you know, the things of Israel at that point that I somewhat do now. And God just showed up in a powerful way, to be able to say, you know, I just want to bless you. I just want to bless you. And I want you to receive this blessing. I want you to prepare your heart. And we're going to let Jonathan close this out in prayer today. We're going to close this program out of VFN-TV today with the Aaronic blessing over you. Receive this blessing in Jesus' name.
So I want to give you the ancient blessing that is given in the Bible that God gave to Aaron and said, you will place my name upon them when you give this blessing. This is the blessing that God himself wrote. And so there's some power in it. And it is for, I said, but you know, in the days of the temple, that was my line is Aaron. And so my fathers gave this to the people of Israel. You are the chosen people in God, grafted in. And so I want to pray this blessing. So I want to ask that. Let me put this on first. That you would lift up your hands in receiving, not from man, but as from God. And you will close your eyes.
song. And the Lord keep you. The Lord this year cause his face to shine on your life as never before. And the Lord pour out upon you, upon your home, upon the works of your hands, the outpouring of his grace for every day of your life. And the Lord give to you, as the Lord lift up the glory of his presence, the glory, his Shekinah glory upon your life this year. And the Lord give to you shalom, life, fullness, peace, all the blessings of his love. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name that is above every name that is named in this world. Yeshua, Jesus, Or HaOlam, the light of this world, Uchvod Yisrael, Ba'ari, Yehuda, and the Lion of the tribe of Judah. In his holy name we pray, amen and amen. Amen.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Don't forget, you can catch us on at VFNTV.com on the app. You can search in your app store for V as in Victor, VFNTV, or you can, how else? I mean, so many different ways. We have podcast,
Torch.
The Torch is so cool because you can go and sign up. Go to, you can text, what's the number?
22828.
22828. Text VFNTV, that's V Victor, VFNTV to
22828.
And in a few moments, you'll be receiving the Torch every single week. And so if you miss something on the radio, if you want to hear it again, or you think that's great, you go, man, I wish I could hear that again. Guess what? It will be sitting in your email on that Friday. So when you wake up Saturday morning, you're there Friday night, you're going to be able to go back and listen and share with other people,
mm-hmm.
you know, what you experienced. And you can participate in the great expectation of God by sharing the good news, by sharing God's perspective. You know, bring, you know, by sharing what we were attempting to do is give a light perspective of a God perspective, a biblical perspective, if you would, of what's happening in our life,
mm-hmm.
a reasonable conversation. And I got to tell you, you know, when I was in Destin and Donna and I were spending time there celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary in Sugar, it was so it was the Sam was like Sugar out there, that I got a chance, you know, obviously listening to VFN Radio, and VFN Radio is so encouraging. I mean, think about it. Whatever comes into your eyes, whatever comes into your ears makes you up. It's, you know, faith comes by hearing. And if you want to stir your faith and hear reality at the same time, hear a biblical perspective so it doesn't terrify you, but it will give you a biblical perspective and go, you know, hey, that's right. You know, like we just talked about in the first hour, the biblical perspective of our soldiers that are putting such a sacrifice out there is King David. And when you talk to your legislator, you can say, wait a minute, this is a principle that's been around. This is a Judeo-Christian country. This is what we should do. We should honor our soldiers. And you can go back and you can listen to it. We'll see, it gives you a biblical perspective when they start taking it. We're going to defund the VA, or we're going to, we have a million vets that can't get into the system. It'll take us a couple, you know, then you can get a biblical perspective of the whole thing. So you hear the news, you know, that this is going on, but then you go, wait a minute, it's godly for me to stand up. Well, it's a godly thing for me to stand up for these soldiers. And that's what's called a biblical perspective. And over again, we're trying to do that. Okay, you have folks that are refusing to get out of bed and go to work. You have people that are complaining about their life being so miserable. Well, we have a biblical perspective of that we just shared, that you're going to have to have integrity, that got life, true peace is being able to press through and meet the demands of reality, which will require your flesh to be unhappy, but God will reward you for that, and you can have peace no matter where you are. You see, so we're able to deal with a reality that, hey, as long as your flesh is comfortable, you're going to be in bondage. But as long as your spiritual is comfortable, you're going to be free no matter where your flesh is. And so that's so your body is what I'm talking about. And so I just want to encourage you that you need that kind of balance. You don't bury your head in the sand of denial and say, I don't want to know what's going on because it's too big. God's people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. You got to be able to look at both. You got to be able to look at what is going on. Then you got to hear what God says, God's word says about it. And that's called a biblical perspective. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know.
All right.
And you can get that on VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com or search for it in your app store by searching for V as in Victor, VFN TV. Or just go to VFNTV.com and get your app there.